So here we are. What an absolute pleasure to meet you here. It's an absolute joy to be able to bring you my very first interview on this new podcast series, Conversations with Nova Reed, and to keep you company during these curious times, and I hope far beyond them too. And in this episode, I have the pleasure of interviewing a wonderful breathwork guide and actor called Susan Atte. And Susan and I met at a mutual friend's wedding in September. And these are lifelong friends, and our paths crossed because I used to act as well. And we had this friend in common, and we met in the gorgeous south of France, and I do what I normally do, and I scan the room to see where my sense of safety is. And you notice it's much more palpable when you're in a country that isn't your own, to be looking for other black and brown people and other people of colour. And there Susan was, and it was like she had this halo around her. She had the most profound energy and infectious energy, and we hadn't even engaged in any kind of dialogue. And as soon as we got past the niceties and sort of leaned in, and I went straight in and said, I'm an anti-racism educator, she just went, oh, I'm a breathwork guide and I'm all about healing and collective healing. So we knew in that moment that we wanted to work together in some way, and I hope by the time this lands, I've actually got myself together and carved out what that looks like. But we will be joining forces and offering something to support you, those of you who are on your journey to being actively anti-racist, to being a better ally, to learning how to navigate this stuff, so that you can process everything that's sort of going on cognitively and find a way to safely start to release it from your body. And Susan is an incredible breathwork guide. I would use the word healer. I'm not sure that she would describe herself as that. But just listen to her speak, feel how deeply connected she is with just this holistic sense of wellness, nature, and everything that joins in between. She now lives and works in LA, in America. And she also had the pleasure of meeting Oprah Winfrey, and we even talk about that. So enjoy this conversation where we talk about race and everything in between, healing, reclaiming who we are, and what it was like to meet the incredible Oprah Winfrey. And she even shares some wisdom with us. So enjoy this episode. I would love to hear your feedback at the end of the show. Please rate, leave a review, send me a note, let me know how it moves you. Enjoy, and speak to you soon. Today we are joined by the impeccable breathwork guide, Susan Atte. Welcome, Susan, to my new musings and conversations with Nova Reed. Thank you for coming.
I know, I love this.
So Susan, before we dive in, I would love to find out more about who you are. So who are you? What we do when I ask this question, people automatically go to what they do for a living. So who are you?
That was so interesting, because I immediately went into my being a child. Right? Who am I? Susan, like, I was raised in Cameroon, and I was raised in Ireland. So I feel like I got kind of this beautiful rainbow variety of life through my parents, right? So that's my story. My mom's Irish, my dad's from Cameroon. They met in England, and I was born in England. And then at the age of 3, we moved to Cameroon, West Africa, and spent most of our summers back in Ireland. So I really got to have a taste of both cultures, which I think was such a beautiful gift for myself. And also, my mom worked in the American school, so we had a lot of people from different cultures and countries around us constantly. And I went to a French expat school, so that was also quite varied. So I think that it just gave me this kind of beautiful setting to just be a lover of the world. So when I, you know, so when it's like, who am I? I'm just like, I feel like I'm just like somebody who loves to be part of the world and loves human beings, you know? Yeah.
That is such a beautiful answer. Take note, listeners, that's how you answer the question. But it leads on beautifully into my next question. So what was it like growing up in these different countries and also the different cultures that come with them as a child of mixed heritage? What was that like growing up? Were there challenges, nuances?
Yeah, I mean, it was very, it's very interesting because when I look back, you know, obviously my dad is quite, like, he's black and my mom's very white, like freckle redhead, right? But my parents never really talked about race in the household. So I don't know, we never really questioned it. We just lived as who we were in this blended family. And looking back, like when I went to Ireland, I do remember when we would arrive and everybody from the neighborhood would like come out and be like, hi, you know, they were just so like excited. I mean, I look now as an adult, I'm like, oh, they were curious about me and what I looked like. But as a child, I didn't register that. I was just like, I'm popular, you know. But I know for my parents, it was a bit more tricky for them, you know, because they met during the Thatcher era as well. Mm. So my dad had studied to be an engineer, like he had a degree in engineering. And when he would go for jobs, they would automatically think he came there to be like a cleaner, yeah, right? And so that was part of the reason that my dad got very tired of, you know, that kind of system that was in place in England at the time. And so that's why they took the opportunity to move to Cameroon, you know? And also for them, you know, they got married in Ireland, and it was, you know, it was a different time where I think he was probably the only black person that they'd ever seen. And I remember my auntie talking to me about the priest stopping mass, in the middle of mass, stopping it and asking my father to leave, and my granddad saying, no, he's with me. So those kind of experiences, like I think I absorbed as a kid, you know, yeah, like hearing different conversations around that. But personally, I think there was something about me from a very early age that went, I'm Susan. And that's how I defined myself. And people would always ask me, where are you from? And I'd be like, I'm Irish Cameroonian. I really held on to that because I was really experiencing both of those. And I didn't want to feel like I had to choose.
Yes.
You know, and I think some people felt an unease with that, you know. But it was something that I really felt in my heart of hearts that I had to really claim myself first.
Powerful. At such a young age as well.
Yeah, and it was all intuitive. I don't think any of that was me really paying attention or observing. I think it was just something I felt very strongly inside of me, that I just was Susan. Yeah.
And what was your experience in Cameroon with this othering?
Yeah, well, that was interesting because, you know, we would be driving places and we would be sent to, like, because I think this is a good point, actually. A lot of people, you know, we assume that when we're in the white part of the country, we're named, right, as other, but in Cameroon, we were named as other.
Yes.
And there were things like people going, white man, white man, white man, white man with your long nose. So they would sing that at us. Or they would call me Mami Wata, which is like a mermaid thing, because I would have these long braids, but then I was like made to look like I was weird, you know, and I remember that. And I just remember going, oh, I don't
like it.
Yeah, you know, So, and we were definitely not considered Black.
Mm.
And I think for people in, I mean, because the UK do talk about mixed race, but for instance, I'm in Los Angeles and it's really like you're white or you're Black.
You're Black, one or the other.
One or the other. I mean, the idea of that you have mixed heritage, they just, you know, but that's their history, which I understand too, because there's a lot of pain there.
Mm.
So yeah, it's just, it's a very interesting dance here to try and claim, because for me, it's very important to claim both.
Because you are both.
Because I am both, exactly. So yeah, in Cameroon, it was interesting being told that you're being really made to feel like you're different.
And how are conversations with race now? Do you have conversations about race with your family or friends now, or are they still things that just go unspoken?
No, I think I have them, and I have them in America really kind of educated me a lot, you know, and it's interesting because it's not something that I feel personally in my day-to-day life. But I'm very aware, looking at the news, I follow this man on Instagram called Sean King.
Mm.
He really advocates and fights for the Black population here in America. Mm. And when you see, because now we have the gift of cameras.
Yes.
Right? And this isn't, people think this is new. No, it's not. It's been existing for a while. Police brutality on Black skin, Black and brown skin. It's devastating. And also the inequality that really exists.
Yes. When you start
to really see it is painful.
Yes.
And so I feel like America's really opened my eyes a lot. Because it's also very, when like you can't understand it, I don't think. Like you can understand it, but you can't really know the experience African Americans have gone through. Because it's such a different experience than being in the UK or being in Africa, right? And this history of slavery that basically still exists.
Of course, in a different format.
A different format, exactly. And then I also talk with my brother a lot about it. And I think that, you know, he's even, you know, noticed it in terms of his work, right? Where suddenly he was like, oh, I don't get as many grants as my white counterparts. Or when you, you know, in the workforce, when you start to really observe that for yourself,
mm.
there's, you know, there's a reality that really starts to set in.
Yeah. When there's no other defining explanation or factor as to why that's not happening.
Yeah. And
it's palpable.
And then you kind of are alone in it because you would be proved otherwise. You know what I mean? Like people are going to say, no, that's not true. And you have no way of saying, well, actually it really is true.
Yeah.
So it's a very frustrating part of that kind of maneuvering, you know.
Yeah, it's similar in the sense of here that there is this constant demand for evidence or receipts of your pain and your trauma, and much of that is not seen. It's invisible, or it's within these systems that have found a way to hide things in a very sophisticated way, and so often we're not believed, and it's that convincing and that labor that often causes more harm than overt acts of hate, because it's there in plain sight and you can deal with it, whereas these under the surface systemic issues.
But also as a human being, if you're having an experience,
yes,
and you're being told that that experience isn't true,
yes,
you suddenly think you're crazy.
Absolutely. You're being gaslit over and over again by every single person.
Somatic to the body.
completely.
You know, and this happens over and over again. And already to have that experience and then being asked to prove yourself over and over and over is exhausting.
It's exhausting. And you're also asking us to relive our trauma. You're asking us to describe our trauma to somebody who causes us harm. Yeah. It's amazing when you strip it back like that. It's a strong example, and it elicits a huge amount of shame or guilt or anger. But I was like, racism is a form of trauma. In the same way, physical abuse can show up in our bodies as trauma. So would you ask somebody who experiences physical abuse to describe to you the abuse and the trauma that it is that they're experiencing? You would never, ever do that. And we need to stop doing it with matters of race, for sure.
100%.
Yeah.
But I think for a lot of the population, unfortunately, if it suits you, right? Your life suits you right now. People don't want to take a minute and listen to somebody else's pain, because then they have to turn the mirror on themselves.
100%. Right?
And change their way of life, their behavior, and actually give, right? Because they have to open the doors and share. And that doesn't suit a lot of people.
No, because it's painful. Because it's painful. But it's necessary.
It's necessary. And I also think we can approach it in a way that doesn't feel like we're pointing the finger, right?
Correct.
It's saying, this is a system. We see how it works. Be part of the change. We're not here to go, look at what you did. Let's do some healing maybe around that.
Yes.
But I think a lot of people as well don't want to talk about it because they don't want to be, to actually really look at what they're participating in.
Yes. Because what will it mean when they do? What will it mean when they do discover that they have been complicit in causing another person or a system of trauma? Yeah. Not everybody has the courage to do that. That's why I talk about courage a lot in my work, because it does require courage and vulnerability and being brave, because you're going to uncover darkness. You're going to uncover sides about you or your family that you're not going to like, that will not make you feel good about yourself. But it is necessary, because in order to heal, we have to confront. And we can't move forward without it. We can plaster it, but then it takes on new formats like we've just spoken about. So it's vital for healing.
How can we approach shadow work differently? How can we approach darkness differently? Right? Like, how can we really embrace that in ourselves? Because we all have it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that we live with shadow and light.
Of course.
Part of our, you know, structure, like when we're a human being, it's part of us. But pushing it down, pretending it doesn't exist, not wanting to look at it, doesn't serve anybody.
Absolutely not.
It actually causes more pain, and it causes a lot of acts of evil,
mm-hmm.
right? Or violence. Because when you suppress something, it has to come out.
Absolutely. There's one of my all-time favorite quotes from James Baldwin, and I'm probably paraphrasing slightly, but it's something like, I imagine why people hold on to their anger so stubbornly is because if they let go of it, then they'll be forced to deal with pain.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you more about your work. I think that leads beautifully into the work that you do. So Susan and I are firm believers in collective healing and discovering ancestral wounds and doing what we can to get out of our minds and into our body. So can you tell me more about the work you do and what led you to it?
Yes. So I'm a breathwork guide, and I think coming up 2 years in August, I would have been practicing this. I'm also an actor. And I love my work. I'm very passionate about my craft. But what I also realized as well was, you know, through auditioning like a crazy person, and there's a lot that you cannot control.
Oh, yes. I'm laughing because we, if I used to act as well, which you know, Susan, but the listeners might not.
it's definitely resilience there.
Yeah.
And so I came to a point where I was going to have a birthday, and I knew that I did not want to be in the same place on my birthday that I was in. And it was depending on people's yeses. And it was also, while I'm doing the work of acting, I feel very much in service. And that's something that I, you know, there's a beautiful gift in that. You know, when I was doing Redwater and we shot it for the BBC in Ireland, I played an Irish policewoman. And I was so thrilled to be able to show that a mixed race Irish girl, right, could hold that role, because other people could look and go, hey, I can do this. Hey, I can be a Gardaí in Ireland, you know? So that there's so many gifts, but unfortunately the work isn't, you know, flowing as much. So I knew that I wanted to be of service, and I just didn't, I was, you know, going, how am I gonna be of service to a bigger, a wider population, and just really bring about healing. I knew that I wanted to bring about healing, and I knew that I wanted to be of service. And my friend had mentioned breath work to me a while ago, and she was like, oh my God, Susan, I know that you will love this. And through a lot of different circumstances, I did one of those things where I got a real gut instinct that I needed to just study it. I refused to try it out first. And I even spoke to a few people who were already, you know, teaching breath work, and they were like, yeah, that's great, but you should try it. And I was like, no, I'm getting this download that I shouldn't, that I should just go and study it. So I reached out to this teacher, David Elliott, and off I went to New Mexico on my own, and was up in the mountains and learned this incredible tool. And I know now why I didn't do it before, because the first 2 days I was like, get me out of here. How is this? Because my body, I never felt my body. Like, I felt so much pain got released. I was overwhelmed. My ears and my whole body was tingling. All these emotions were like rising to the surface. And it was a lot, but I was doing the work. And once I started to ease in, it was one of the most profound experiences of my life. And at the time, I could barely, and I know I'm an actor, but see, this is the thing that people also find hard to understand, because they're always like, but you're an actor. Yeah, but I could barely talk in groups. If I had lines, I'll do them. I can perform. That's not an issue.
Yes.
But being me,
yeah,
very tricky.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how hard it was to navigate being with myself. And I've been doing work for a long time, but this work just brought me so deep into my soul.
Powerful.
My very being. And I even remember there going, oh, I think I'll just do it for friends, or I'll just help other, like, you know, because I was like, I'm not going to be leading groups. What? And cut to a year and a half later, I lead these groups in Los Angeles, and it's been the most healing, healing time of my life, being in a circle with people.
I've got goosebumps.
Sharing our pain, sharing our joy, being real, being authentic. And in that, there's such a collective healing that was already going on. And I was noticing a lot of people and a lot of women were meeting in circles. And I actually listened to this podcast, and it was an Indian scientist. And he said, right now, it is the hearts of women that are holding our planet together.
Ooh.
Like, because there's these underground movements that have been happening with women in circle. And it's so interesting that it was building up. And now that we're in a time of pause, we're still able to continue this work. We're doing it online, but we're able to continue this work. And it is so important because collective healing is urgent right now.
That is the word. It is absolutely urgent.
And to be able to offer my part is such a blessing. And I now understand why I went to that mountain.
Yeah. It,
you know, because I have a tool that can help support people in this time. Because when we heal our pain, our own personal pain, we can fill ourselves up enough, right, with love that we can then help others.
Yeah.
And right now, the world is understanding that we're not I, we're not me, 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 we are we. We are we. And just to think that us being in our home right now is helping other people. Wow. Right?
Yes.
Wow.
That's powerful.
So in a nutshell, that was me.
But I think it's a beautiful reminder of it. Like everything, the journeys we go on, the decisions we make, the paths that we go on, everything leads us to moments in time where everything just comes together. Like, okay, now I know. Now I am honoring my purpose in this moment. And I find that a beautiful experience that I don't know about you.
I think it's incredible. And also what it reminds me is to always plug into your truth, because your truth will never stray you, right? If you're aligned with your truth, you will always be where you need to be. And sometimes you may be like, why the hell am I here? What is going on? But if you really trust, you'll then look back and go, oh my gosh, that's why, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm somebody who has suffered enormously with anxiety. But guess what? I get to hold people who have that. And I have that knowledge. And so my why and my suffering, I have an answer, because I can feel your pain. I can understand you. Right? And I think that's so important. So even when I'm in my own dark night of the soul, which we all go through.
Yes.
It's how can I let myself be in that moment? And I'm not saying, I'm saying be with the suffering, be with the pain, right? So I can transcend it.
Oh, 100%.
Right?
Because I think what many of us try to do as humans is just to reject it. I don't want that. I don't want the suffering. I don't want to feel it. Again, I don't want to experience that pain because it's just unbearable and overwhelming to me. Whereas it's part of the human condition, and being able to experience it in the moment as it is without trying to edit it or alter it, and having the tools to be able to move through that, is exactly where the gold comes afterwards.
Yeah. And I think that we unfortunately were sold an illusion, right? Fix your pain with buy a TV, work harder, you know, get a big house. And some people are living in these big houses with these big TVs and still have this absolute hole in their hearts. Because it doesn't fix anything. Right? So it's like, how can we come back home?
Yeah.
Come back home to yourself. And I think we're given an opportunity to go back to basics for a moment.
Yeah. And what better way to go back to basics than coming back to breath and breathing and slowing everything down.
Absolutely. And for me personally, especially in this time, because the disease is attacking the lungs, it really gives me just this pause and moment of like, wow, without our breath, we're nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then it also, and this is a bit out there, but I feel for the planet too, because I feel like the planet has been saying, I can't breathe. Right? So we're all trying to really breathe.
Yeah.
To breathe. Take a moment and pause and breathe and regenerate in a new way.
Definitely regeneration and newness, and we're all connected. And how, I mean, for me, this whole experience is kind of taking me full circle, because I lost a best friend in September, and she was trying to heal herself of cancer. And through her own healing journey, she was finding out a lot about all of the healing properties that we have in nature. And so whilst that wasn't her, it wasn't in, and these were her words, in God's plan, after a year of being diagnosed and going through this journey of self-healing, she went back to her oncologist, and he was surprised to see her looking so well. So what that experience did do was extend her the time she had. So 3 years she lived with it, and they were not expecting that. But in that process, she's learning to come back to nature and the healing properties that are all around us, where we've just lost our knowledge of simply just being present in nature as well, and connecting and feeling grounded and rooted with the beauty that is around us and in abundance. And so I feel like this is definitely a learning for us to come back to basics, to come back to not taking nature for granted, or ourselves.
We are nature.
Yeah, I love that.
We are nature. I think humans have forgotten that we're part of this ecosystem. We're not other. We're not above it. We are with it. Like, we are the river, we are the trees, we're all of it, you know. And I think that it's so important to take those walks now if we can, right? And just look out and just go, you know, I mean, just even looking at a tree is right, it's just this ease. They're just rooted, they're strong, and they're grounded. I mean, for me, especially in this time, it's been incredible to be able to just take a walk. And right now it's like take a walk around our neighborhood, because where we would normally go hiking, they've been closed, understandably, because people weren't practicing social distancing, unfortunately. But, you know, but it's like, I'm so lucky. Like, there's just green all around me. That is very healing for me right now.
Beautiful. I was just going to ask you, how do you find calm in chaos? But I think you may have answered it, but if there's anything else you want to share.
Yeah, so nature definitely is a big thing. I think also, being with the chaos, just saying it's here, acknowledging its presence, allowing it to move through, also then brings me to a state of calm, right? The breath work as well, moving what's there, because when you're moving it, it's energy in motion, and energy needs to move, right? Our emotions move. And I think a lot of us, when we suppress, it's like almost like you can imagine like a stagnant, you know, water, right? It's just, right? It starts to just be murky and, you know, like just breathes, you know, it starts to fester almost. It's like how we need to move things through, right? And I think that also, the expression of that allows for calm to come in, right? And yeah, just walks too. Walks are very calming. Mm. That's the, you know, because that's like a walking meditation.
Yes.
your time for yourself to just be. Yeah, those are kind of, and journaling is a beautiful thing too, because you're getting it out. I think, again, anything to just move through and get out. I think for a lot of people, there's a fear that they won't like who they are.
Yes.
Right? And part of the journey is to love all of you.
Yes, of course.
Right? I mean, I certainly have a lot of like, what are you? And like, really? You're that person? I'm like, yeah. And I love me still.
That's so, it. It's loving ourselves without condition, because we don't love babies or children with condition. And yeah.
Yeah.
So I have a juicy question. So Susan met Lady O, Oprah Winfrey, very recently. And I was lucky enough, Susan shared me some of Oprah's nuggets of wisdom as a voice note, which was just filled my soul. But what was it like meeting her? And what did you learn from her?
It was such an incredible and powerful day. And also I went with one of my dearest friends, Nellie, who I've known since I was 12. We went to school together in Cameroon. Wow. So that in itself was just so special, right? These two girls to go to school together. It's like, we're going to see them. And I really let myself indulge in the whole thing. Like, I just was like, this is the best. The fact that there was like an exercise portion at the beginning to get people energized and all of that. And then there was a meditation part. But apart from that, it was just Oprah on a stage with 13,000 people.
Wow.
And she's able to hold space, right? She doesn't have a guitar. And she is talking about our humanity.
Mm.
It's just, you know, like, you just, it's quite mesmerizing and just magical. And her depth and understanding of the human condition is so powerful. And what I did learn from her, which was incredible, that I really took away from, was when she talked about coming into that moment where her mom was about to pass. And she could not find a way, like was really torn about, you know, how to say goodbye to her, or, you know, because they had a very complicated relationship. And how she could move into forgiveness.
Yes. Right?
And it was the third trip that she went to see her mom. And on the second, she didn't even know she'd get the opportunity to go on the third trip, but she did, because she said she stopped and she went, oh my God, you can't be a hypocrite. You've been holding space for people and talking to thousands of people and healing other people. And here you are with your mother, and yet you can't find words to say.
Mm-hmm.
And she prayed over it. And she went over to her mom and she said, thank you. She just said, thank you for bringing me into this world. Thank you for being the mother that you were, because if you weren't, I wouldn't be who I am. That is powerful.
Wow.
Because this was a mom who let Oprah sleep outside.
Yeah.
And she said that that moment gave her so much freedom.
Wow.
And it just really, I mean, the whole, like 13,000 people crying.
I can imagine. Like,
we're all crying. I mean, we're just all crying. We're just like, but it really sat with me. And I, over the last 2 years, have also been doing a lot of forgiveness work. And forgiveness work is so powerful, right? Because when you hold on to resentment, as they say, resentment is the, resentment eats its own container.
Yeah, right? It's like drinking your own poison.
Exactly. And so I have definitely seen huge, huge change in my life from letting a lot of resentment, you know, toward my father in particular go. Move into that space of forgiveness. It's been one of the most healing times for me. And then recognizing myself in my father.
Yes.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Because that was the part of me I was pushing away.
Yeah.
To be like him. Yeah.
But how can we not?
Right. Exactly.
That's beautiful. Thank you. I want to chat for ages.
So lovely.
Susan and I are up to mischief. So by the time this lands, we may have a program that I have outlined ready, but we are doing something that infuses my anti-racism work with Susan's healing work and breath work so that we can move into a place where we're better able to serve and heal and be part of the powerful solution rather than feeling stuck in our own feelings. So there will be some collaboration where we are fusing both of our gifts together, and I can't wait to share it with you. Keep in touch on my website for what that will be, and I will be announcing it from the rooftops because I'm excited. But for now, Susan, please let people know where they can find you. Where do you lurk and linger?
Oh yes, so I have a website, so that's susanateh.com. So my last name is A-T-E-H. I'm also on Instagram at irishinfused.com.
Perfect.
Platforms that I like to dwell in.
I will also leave some links in the show notes. But Susan, thank you so much for your time and for stepping into your power and being who you were meant to be, because it's a gift and I've absolutely adored talking with you. And I can't wait to work with you and see you soon.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for sharing your gifts with us too. Yeah.
My pleasure. Take care.
Oh, I told you, didn't I? She is absolutely bloody gorgeous. And I hope you enjoyed our conversation as much as we did recording it. I would love to hear your feedback, to hear how it moved you, any aha moments. You know how to contact me, Nova Reed Official on Instagram. And feel free to drop me an email, nova@novareed.com. I also, a birdie tells me that leaving a review and giving me a rating on your podcast app will work wonders for algorithms. I want as many people to hear these conversations and to be moved by them and to be changed by them, to help me do my bit to help better humanity as possible. So I rely heavily on word of mouth. If this has moved you, please rate and share with your network, because that's how we create a tidal wave of change. I look forward to seeing you, well, hearing you, being with you, sharing this space with you next week. Take care and thank you for choosing to tune in. Have a good week. Bye.